Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 63. In today's episode, we are joined by our colleague, a fellow podcaster, and fellow working parent who will help us explore the topic of staying organized and focused when you have a lot on your plate. We know that many of you can relate to the feeling of being overwhelmed and scattered when you have many responsibilities, projects, and goals. And we know that our guest has a lot of great tips to share on this. We're very excited to welcome Marina Ilari to the podcast. Marina Ilari is an ATA-certified English into Spanish translator with over 16 years of experience in the translation industry. She has worked as a translator, editor, and quality assurance specialist for many companies around the world, with a special focus on creative translations and video game localization. She's the chief executive officer of Terry Translations and co-host of the podcast about translation and pantuflas. Welcome to the Smart Habits for Translators, Marina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I was so excited when you said yes, because you're such an inspiration to so many of us, your colleagues. And also, for anybody listening, today is actually the day we're recording this is International Women's Day, right? So yeah, so kudos to all of the women in our field, but especially we're excited to talk to you too as a fellow podcaster and colleague.
So thank you so much. It's my honor.
Thanks. Okay, so let's dive in. We'd love to know more about you. So if you could please tell us about your business. For example, what services do you offer, when and how you started your career in translation and localization, and how it's evolved over time?
Yeah. Wow. So first and foremost, I'm a translator, and then 5 years ago, I became CEO of Terra Translations, which is a company that my mother founded over 20 years ago. Yes, I actually never thought I would pursue this career. I always thought translation was something that my mother did, and I kind of wanted to forge my own path, you know. But life ended up leading me to translation eventually, and I fell in love with it. And I started my career working alongside my mother, mainly translating and reviewing translations into Spanish. And over time, I started taking other roles within the company, like project management and quality control. And I'm actually very thankful for that, because it gave me great insight into different parts of the translation process. And it's been very helpful to know all that as a translator, but also in helping run a translation company.
Right, exactly. And how did you get into localization? Because I know that you're big in localization, and you've talked a lot about, you know, at different conferences and such about video game localization, right?
Yes, that's my passion. And yeah, I started like beginning of 2000. I took part in a localization project of a very large, very popular video game. And it was that project that really made me realize that you could specialize in that. I didn't know about that area of expertise, you know, certainly not through my translation studies, but also I just wasn't aware that you could do that. And I always liked video games, and I thought I was gonna be doing more like literary type of translations, because I always liked the more creative type of translations. So it was really like a perfect fit. Like, I love video games, I love creative types of translations, and I found my place in the translation industry, so to say, in translating video games. And so yeah, and since then, you know, I didn't stop. It's been quite the journey, but
very cool.
But I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've become known for that. I mean, the first person I would think of is you when I hear about video game localization.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. Yeah. It's interesting. I think more and more translators now are starting to specialize in this area. But yeah, when I started, there wasn't any information out there. How do you specialize in this? So I started gathering whatever I could find and then sort of writing and documenting my own personal journey with this. And then I started to share some of those learnings, mainly through LinkedIn. So yeah, it's something I enjoy doing too. Just sharing what I know of that niche, that specialty, and hopefully helping other translators who are interested in specializing there.
Yeah. And I also love that you work in the field still while running your agency, your company. I think that that's, you know, really admirable too, to see people doing that, because you're not just spinning yourself into one box and you do have multiple skills. Yes. So...
Yeah, I really like that too. It's hard to let go. Sometimes people in my team are like, why are you doing that, Marina?
I know.
Because I love it.
I get it. 100%. Yes. So as you probably know, we talk a lot about smart habits here on our podcast, and we consider smart habits to be those things that help you in your work and in everyday life. So what are some smart habits that have been crucial in your career?
Well, this might sound silly, actually, but I think one of the best things that happened to me is having a dog, because if it weren't for, you know, needing her to go out during the day, I would just stay all day glued to the screen. So a smart habit for me, you know, making sure I have time to walk or move, but mainly walk the dog. Yeah. The dog helps as a reminder that I need to get up and move. Especially the first years of my career, I mean, the grind was real, and I would spend sometimes 16 hours in front of the computer working. I was enjoying myself because I love what I do, but it's really not healthy. It's not sustainable. So, and the work we do is so mentally focused. So I think it's really important to balance it out with something physical. Another smart habit I have, I think, is that I plan for the day ahead. And usually I do this the previous evening. I sit for a moment, review everything I need to do and everything I need to accomplish for the next day. I write it down, and I put alarms in my cell phone for everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that way I don't miss anything, you know, like a meeting, a deadline, my lunch, my time to move, you know, everything is like an alarm.
Oh, that's good.
I have everything like pretty structured with alarms. And I find that that type of discipline really helps me accomplish not only like the day-to-day things, but also like the bigger projects and the bigger long-term goals that I have.
Yes. Yeah. So we like to talk to our guests about any tools and things that they use. I was actually thinking of asking you when I heard you say that about like, what kinds of tools do you like to use to stay organized? Is there anything you use besides alarms?
Yes. one tool that comes to mind, actually, it's an app that's really useful to me. It's called Pocket. I don't know if you know this. What helps me is like sometimes I see things that I'm interested in, but it's not the right time to read them or engage in them, or, you know, like I'm busy with something else. And you can pocket it with this app and you can just get there like all those articles and things that you're interested in reading. And you can access them later, even if you don't have an internet connection, which I find really nice. So in those moments where I'm like, you know, waiting at the airport or whatever, I just go to my pocket and read through those things and just catch up on those things, you know?
What a smart use of your time.
Yeah, because otherwise it's all an interruption, you know?
It is distracting, absolutely. And it's hard to, you know, these days, I think more than ever, to stay focused on what you're supposed to be working on or what's in front of you, because there's just so many distractions.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that tip. So between your business, family, you also are an active volunteer, I know, with Women in Localization and American Translators Association and other organizations. You also co-host a podcast and have a lot of other things you're involved in. You really have a lot on your plate. How do you manage it all? And do you have any systems, processes, or habits that help you stay organized?
I really like this subject because I think about this a lot, actually, this concept of doing it all or having it all, and this belief that, you know, to be successful, we have to do everything, be everywhere. But we put so much pressure and we put so much on our plates, I think, that we end up stressed out and burned out. And I try to do my best in everything I do. But the truth is, I have a lot of help. I'm very fortunate to have a family around me. I have a great team working alongside with me. I try to delegate tasks that I know I'm not good at, but that are necessary, like accounting and taxes, for example. But yeah, for me also, one huge realization was taking a personality assessment test that really helped me identify where I should be spending most of my time, most of my energy, like those activities that I'm really good at. And try not to focus on those activities that I know absorb my energy really fast and that I'm not naturally good at. So I guess I will have two pieces of advice here. First, I would say to identify what your strengths are and focus most of your energy and tasks in those activities if you can. You know, trying to delegate everything else whenever you can. And the second piece of advice would be to let go of this idea of being perfect. Let imperfection happen. Yeah. It can be very liberating.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Do you have any advice for other people who juggle several different projects and responsibilities? How do you stay focused on what's important right now and overcome the feeling of being scattered?
Yeah, I suffer from this too. But I have a book recommendation, and the book is called Deep Work. I don't know if you're familiar with this book, but the author explains how if you're in a constant state of distraction, you permanently reduce your capacity to perform deep work. And but basically, you're doing deep work when you're totally focused on the task at hand. And you want to accomplish big things such as writing a paper. It could be preparing a presentation, even translating. I mean, that would go there too. But you need this high level of concentration in order to do it right and in order to give your best. And the reality is that we live in a constant state of distraction with our phones pinging, our emails coming in, social media, like everything nowadays is basically made to be a distraction. So one thing that I've learned and I'm trying to apply is the disconnecting completely and working with a zero distraction situation whenever I need to achieve deep work. And sometimes that means, you know, working at a different time, earlier or later in the day. Sometimes it's disconnecting everything for a couple of hours in order to concentrate. But it's interesting, in the book, the author tells the story of J.K. Rowling when she was writing the last book of the Harry Potter series. And in her house, like, the dog was barking, the kids were speaking, like everything was an interruption. And I felt like that was a reflection of my life sometimes. So in order to complete the book, she stayed at she checked in at a hotel in Edinburgh with zero distractions and didn't check out until she finished the project. I know this might sound like a little extreme.
That's great, though.
But I think, yeah, I think it's important to understand. And what the book helped me see is that being always busy doesn't mean that you're actually accomplishing things. So deep work sometimes is very necessary, and we must avoid those everyday distractions.
Yeah, I love Cal Newport's books. That's one of his books. Yeah. And that, you know, that thought of like, we can keep ourselves busy, but it's not always the work that actually takes us toward our goals, or actually, you know, I don't know, whatever your goal is, whether it's personal, professional, it's very easy to just keep yourself busy and go, well, I'm working all the time.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And it's interesting, the author, I looked him up on LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, I'm going to follow him because I love like all the advice that he gives. Mm-hmm. He's not on social media. And I was like, he lives the talk, you know, like he's writing about like not having distractions. And she's just not on social media. So I just thought it was interesting. Not even LinkedIn, you know?
He has a podcast, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his podcast, though, I'll tell you what, though, the episodes are really long.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're quite long. So you just have to pick and choose. But yeah, you're right. I don't think he is on social media.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah. So Marina, as a business owner, you have a great responsibility. You have to take care of your clients, your employees, and the contractors who work for you. So how do you do all of that and take care of yourself and your own projects and priorities? Do you have any tips on how to find time for the things that make you feel happy and fulfilled?
Yeah, this is probably one of the biggest challenges for me. I tend to forget to take care of myself, and I honestly think I could do a lot better in this regard. But I do some things for my health, like walking again, I use a meditation app, only 10 minutes during the day, but really helpful. Mm-hmm. And then during the weekends, I really try very hard not to work so that I can connect with my family and my friends. And I also do some activities that just make me happy, like the podcast I do with my colleague Paola. I just think it's really important to find outlets for your creativity, and you can do small things that can have a big impact in your overall sense of satisfaction, I would say. So if I had to give one tip on how to find things that make you feel happy, I would say find a thing that you're passionate about and then commit to doing it. Put it in your calendar, put an alarm like I do on the phone, block time out of it. You know, like it's easy to say that you're busy because we all are very busy. It's true. But you can always find like an hour or so in the week that you can dedicate to doing something creative or something that just like brings you joy. It's really important to find that.
Yeah, I love that. It's true. And it's easy to let those things slip first, right? Whenever you get busy with something.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I feel like sometimes I come last on the list, you know? And I think we need to change that little by little. Yeah.
So we also know you have young kids. Speaking of, it's easy to put yourself last. But what's your approach to investing in your career while being an engaged parent? And do you have any tips and tricks to share with other busy parents?
Yeah, this is hard. This takes a lot of hard work and energy to juggle between your work life and your family, especially with young kids. I always say it's something you tackle day by day. Some days are great. I feel like I'm doing an excellent job. Yeah. Other days I feel completely overwhelmed, unbalanced. A couple of tips that have worked for me are having a very structured routines with the kids, like especially in the evening. I try not to touch work related stuff in the evening so that I can focus with the kids, you know, help them take a bath, read some books. It's very important, a very important time of the day for me to connect with them. And yeah, I recommend leaving your phone, you know, out of sight, put in some other part of the house so that you're not tempted to check the phone or be distracted when you're with them at that time of the day. And another recommendation I can think of is, it's letting go of this idea of perfection again, being the perfect parent, the perfect business person. This idea of being perfect can really affect your self-esteem, I think. And it's simply not useful. I would just say, you know, accept and embrace the imperfection. If you have to order takeout some nights because you're, you know, you didn't have time to prepare a healthy meal, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. It's okay to not be perfect. Let go of those unrealistic expectations.
That is so important, because our kids need happy parents, first of all.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And they
yes.
need to be to see that we don't have to do it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, as you know, on our podcast, we talk a lot about work-life clarity rather than work-life balance. And this is a concept we heard about on the Deliberate Freelancer podcast, and it really resonated with us. We feel that work-life clarity is extremely important for freelancers and small business owners. So what are your thoughts on this, and how do you try to protect the boundaries between your work and personal life?
Yeah, I love the concept of work-life clarity, by the way. Really like that. I'm also a believer that work-life balance is another seemingly unachievable goal that we put for ourselves. And especially in our line of work, because we're working remotely, and really work and life are so intertwined. So the first thing I would say is to establish what your boundaries would be. I used to think I needed to be checking my emails and messages all the time. But the truth is that you can put some boundaries between your active work time and your personal time. Something that could be useful is adding a message to your signature, for example, stating your working hours, explaining when the person that contacted you can expect to hear back from you. So, for example, you could have like a little message saying like, my working hours are Monday to Friday from, I don't know, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Please expect a response within that time frame, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And it kind of liberates you from having to respond outside those working hours. You could also place these types of working hour messages in other messaging platforms like Slack or Skype if people tend to contact you through there. And the other thought I have on this is the power of saying no to things. I used to say pretty much yes to everything that came my way. Especially if it was transition related, like a webinar or an interview or a presentation or article, volunteer opportunity, a mentorship opportunity. I used to try to do it all because it all seemed really important. And it was hard for me to feel, you know, that I would disappoint people if I say no. Mm-hmm. But it got to a point where it was unsustainable. I had so many extra things in my agenda that were keeping me from my actual work and from my family time. You simply cannot be everywhere at the same time, right? You need to learn to prioritize. So last year actually is when I started building the courage of saying no to things that I was being invited to, perhaps. It would break my heart to say no, but it was absolutely necessary. I learned to prioritize, you know, what organizations and initiatives I absolutely want to support, mm-hmm. how much time I can dedicate it to it during the day. And I would plan like how many presentations or articles or interviews or surveys, whatever I could do in the month. And if I thought I couldn't manage the amount, I would start to, you know, politely say no, that maybe yes, but in the future, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard to do it. But people understand that you're human, you know, and your time is limited. Yeah, I always recommend, by the way, getting involved with associations and volunteering for the profession. But yeah, but you need boundaries for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you're passionate about something and you're really enjoying it, it can be so easy to keep saying yes.
But then
you realize there's a tipping point there too.
Yes. Yes.
So finally, if you could give our listeners some tips about growing their translation or interpreting business, what would they be?
Okay. The first tip I would giving would be in you know, getting involved with associations again and organizations in your line of work. These can be translation industry associations or organizations in your area of expertise, for example. I'm involved in some like video game organizations. But yeah, I highly recommend volunteering with these organizations in order to network. And the best way to do it is not only by becoming a member, but by actively participating within the organization. But I guess I don't have to talk much about this because you know all about this, right? But the second tip on growing your business is defining what your area of specialization is and promoting your services as a specialist. you know, of course you should study and train to be in fact a specialist in your area of expertise. This takes time and effort, and don't just choose a random area, but really specialize in it. The most successful translators, linguists that I know, have found a niche in which they can be a specialist. And then one final tip would be to align your specialization to the perfect type of clients for it. And it's important to determine exactly who is a good client for the services that you offer and in the vertical that you work for. And try to focus all your energy in keeping happy those clients that you have that fit that description, and in getting more of those clients. And here's the one recommendation I give is letting go of all the other clients who are not aligned with the type of business that you want to have. This is hard, but your energy should really be spent on the best clients and the clients that are aligned in order to like grow a healthy organization, not dispersed, you know, not try to be everything for everyone. But yeah, this is a hard one to apply, especially if you're like a freelancer. But it's worked really well for me to do this. So it's my recommendation.
Yeah. And it's a good one too, because it actually goes back to the idea of focusing. You know, you're focusing all of your energy on what you actually want to achieve rather than working with clients who you're not really interested in, who don't, you know, help you toward your goals, which can be in its own way a distraction, even if it is paying some bills, you know?
Yes. And they distract you from the actual good clients, right? You want to be spending that energy nurturing the relationship and getting more business from the clients that you really like and that are in your area of expertise and that are aligned with your values and your mission and whatever it is that you define for your business. And also, you know, the energy you could spend in attending to those clients that are not aligned, that are not a good fit, which usually tend to be the most taxing and demanding clients. You know, you could be using that energy in trying to market yourself and try to find more of those better aligned clients, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I feel like we have a new title for this episode now. That's great. Thank you. Well, this was such a great conversation, Martina. We're so grateful that you joined us today. And I really appreciated hearing from you about the systems that you have in place that work for you, because, you know, a lot of people think, well, when you run a business and you're freelance and you do all these things, you must have a very complicated system behind the scenes helping you to make it work. And it's not that complicated, right? You just have really removed a lot of the distractions as much as possible, obviously.
Yeah, but here I am with my phone alarms making it work. So you can do it too.
Yeah, I love that. So before we go, we'd love it if you join us for a special segment. We'd like to ask our guests to share something with our listeners about a favorite book, gadget, or resource. We call this segment Guest Favorites. And we know you've already recommended a book, but we were wondering if you have anything else you wanted to recommend to our listeners and colleagues.
I am recommending another book, if that's okay. I read a lot.
Always.
I read so much. I love reading. It's like my pastime. So I have a good book recommendation that talks about actually what I was just discussing just now, the idea of working with ideal clients. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's called The Pumpkin Patch.
Yes, such a good book.
Yes, I love this book. Mike Michalowicz, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yes.
But yeah, this book really helped me make some difficult but very necessary decisions in order to grow my business. And I highly recommend it to the listeners who want to grow their business and are ready for that leap.
Definitely.
That's really cool. I haven't read that one, so I'll look it up. Yeah. Well, I just have to spring another question then for you, Marina. How do you find time to read?
Yeah, you know, that's after the kids are asleep. After kids are asleep is when I read. And sometimes during the weekends also. But almost every day I find time to read. Yeah.
Good for you.
I don't watch that many like TV series and the like. I mean, only if I'm like really into something. Otherwise, I'm reading. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Marina. We know our colleagues and listeners will love hearing from you as much as we did. And before we go, where can our colleagues learn more about you or find you online?
Oh, thank you. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's where I'm mostly active. So Marina Ilari on LinkedIn. And then the En Pantuflas podcast has a website. It's en-pantuflas.com. You can see me singing karaoke videos there and you can laugh at me.
So fun. Okay, well, we'll add those links to our show notes so everybody can find you easily.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was so nice. It was like talking to friends. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for joining us. We're excited that you said yes. And that's it for this episode. Later this week, our email subscribers will get a summary of the episode with all the links to the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. Also, be sure to follow or subscribe to the En Pantuflas podcast, and we'll link to it in the show notes so that you can make sure to do that.
And if you liked this episode, please follow our podcast, share it with your colleagues and friends, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and we have recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. You'll find it in our show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.